Firstly, would you mind telling us about what it is that you do?
Well, my role is Commissioner for Environmental Sustainability in Victoria, and essentially my role is to report on the scientific health of the environment and also provide policy advice and an evidence base for government and community to develop policy, make decisions, help make sure we keep our environment clean and healthy.
So why is data important in your role?
I'm a scientist myself, and all of our reporting is based on science. So data's at the core of everything we do in terms of information. We don't report on opinion per se, we report on fact. So we need information and we report on that information. The work of my office and my team is to report and synthesise intelligence, if you like, on what's happening with the environment. We report on the information we can get. We don't produce that information. So we look to other areas of science across the board to get the information we need to develop our work and develop our reports.
So this is what you mean when you say evidence-based?
Absolutely. Evidence-based. I mean, for example, we've just done Victoria's first State of the Bays report, which looks at the state of condition and health of Port Phillip and Western Port Bays. And what that does is bring together the evidence base that we have on that as scientists and turns it into a story that's actually manageable for community to access and understand, as well as a synthesis, if you like, that's brought together with the scientific community. It was a wonderful opportunity. I mean, it was such a privilege to be able to do that work and to work with such a huge cohort of scientists who all relished the opportunity to bring the evidence base together, to bring it together as a collective so that we have one story, one report that says, this is what we know, this is what we don't know, and this is what we need to know about the health of Port Phillip and Western Port. One of the key elements of my reporting is to bring together those new scientific evidence bases, so to start bringing together baseline reports. So the baseline State of the Bays was one. We're now doing the State of the Yarra and Parklands, which is great. We'll have a story about State of the Coast in State of the Environment reporting. And so bringing together that baseline inventory of science that also turning it into a story that makes sense and is accessible to the diverse community that we have in Victoria, not just reporting science for scientists, is really important. But in addition to that, one of the key elements of the State and Benefit Framework for reporting is to say, what are the new tools, what are the new things that we need to do? So there's all the work we're doing about collecting and synthesising existing science. But given the fast pace of change of growth and population, in particular impacts of climate change and the pressures on the environment, we need to keep thinking about what are the tools that are going to enable us to manage the impact on our environment and maintain a healthy environment. And State and Benefit talks about data and a shift to digital as being one of those tools. So this is a game changer. We now have the Internet of Things. We can get information, we can get evidence. Not only can scientists get it, community, citizen science can get information. This is really a really important revelation or advent since 2008. So State and Benefit talks about that. It also talks about environmental economic accounting as a key tool. I think they're the big tools for government in the next decade. Data analytics, better use of real-time information, better involvement of citizens or continued involvement of citizens. We know that in 2017 there's five times more citizen science evolving than there are highly skilled, traditionally trained scientists. And by 2019 the citizen science community will exceed that of skilled scientists, skilled in the traditional sense.
What do you mean when you talk citizen science? What does that mean?
Citizen science is about community members individually participating in the gathering of information scientific information. So, for example, BirdLife Australia produced a State of the Birds report. In 2016, the State of the Birds report, the science that went in, so the observations of bird life and all of the science that went into that report was created through citizen science, who actively go out, volunteer, take photos, make observations, or people who go out. Another example would be Water Watch, where people go out and monitor the rain gauges, or they monitor what's happening in their streams, in their community, and they get information. The question is, once they have the information, where does that information go? And how do we bring it together for the public good, if you like? So once that information is coming in for the public good, that's a real opportunity for us as government, because citizens, community, are incredibly connected to their environment. They're incredibly connected to what's happening, and they're collecting really valuable insights. They're watching what's happening on their coast. They're seeing the movement of their coast. They're watching what's happening with dolphins in the bay and seeing whether there's something changing that might indicate a change in health of the bay. There's information there, and so we see them as citizen scientists, and we see that as a really important resource as a community that we can harness. And I suppose with the Internet of Things and the connected digital age, we can actually harness that much easier now. It's much more accessible to us as government to bring citizen science in.
So we've got citizen scientists who are monitoring and gathering useful scientific information using these mobile devices that are connected in this Internet of Things. How do you see that will form one of the tools that you need for the next stage of policymaking?
My vision actually is that you would be able to log on to an app and you would be able to look at the health of the water or the air in your area today to see what's going on. Not only would you be able to see that, you would participate potentially in the gathering of some of the information you're looking at. But in a practical way, how do we enable that as government? And one of the areas that we've been really successful in harnessing the Internet of Things is in emergency management. So there's actually a physical capability that we can build on. So when we have an emergency, we have developed the State Control Centre. It's a hub that operates and is enacted through our fantastic emergency management response personnel. But a core element of the State Control Centre is information coming in and data analytics predicting and showing what's happening with, for example, fire behaviour, so that we can enable citizens to respond quickly and accordingly in emergency. My vision is that some of that skill and that underpinning technical know-how and intelligence can be transferred to help manage the environment in a business as usual manner. So let's think about air quality. If we had a sensor network around the state for air quality, and we could harness citizen science work in air quality and bring it into a platform and a control centre that could develop the insight from that data, then we can inform citizens in real time what's happening in their area. Do I need to do something to make sure that I'm okay in the air as it is today? Is the air clean? Is it changing? Do I want to get active? And this is where the democracy comes in too. If you can have more information about what's happening in your area, in the things that matter to you, you can be much more involved in the decision making around the next thing.
So let's talk a little bit about this idea of data democracy. When you use that term, what do you mean?
Let's talk about democracy. Democracy is about participation. It's about community citizens participating in decisions that affect them, particularly by government, obviously, in terms of government. So when we talk about data democracy, it's a term that we developed to say, actually, data analytics and access to information not only access to information and insight, but participation in the development of that information can only enhance the democracy around our environmental protection and health. One of my personal views is that if we understand more about what's happening around us and we participate in the development of that understanding, we're likely to be more aware and have more interest in acting to protect the environment.
So it's a kind of access two ways, because you're talking about the sort of citizen scientists feeding information in, but it's also about getting the information back so that we as citizens have a sort of informed, well, informed consent, informed knowledge of what's going on around us.
Yeah, it's about participation, Lucinda. For me, there's a two-way dialogue. Governments are not a one-way dialogue with community. We, through the advent of big data, data analytics, and our capabilities through the Internet of Things, can engage in a two-way manner with our community. People can be involved in information gathering. They can then use the synthesis from that information, the insight from that information, to help make decisions about their own life, their family, their community, what matters to them. But I actually think in the area of environmental science, my area, that the more citizens become aware and participate in what's happening around their environment, the better the outcomes for the environment and the community will be.
So if that's your vision, what's the reality at the moment? How do we move from where we are now to that?
We're actually moving. So I think my vision is one that is achievable. It's certainly achievable within the next decade. And we have made inroads even in the last few years. So, for example, we know that after the EPA, the Environment Protection Authority, had a recent inquiry which produced a report to government, and government accepted recommendations. That's all in the public domain. A key recommendation that I was interested in and involved with was developing better data around monitoring of our environment and data analytics capability. So we have instruments, if you like, underway in a practical sense that are going to start to build some of this capability at the state level. The next big thing would be to bring all this into a state centre capability. That my vision is that we actually have a physical, tangible centre that could be based anywhere in the state, but is actually streaming in information and is developing the insight, undertaking all of the work that we need to do to get the insight happening in real time so it's accessible to community. You can now log on to your iPhone, jump onto the Bureau of Meteorology app, and you can see what's happening with the weather. I'd like you to be able to see what's happening, at least in Victoria, with the air quality or the water quality. And we're certainly making steps towards that.
So we have the technological capacity to do it. It's just moving that forward.
We have the know-how too. I think technology is one thing, but it's the insight that the data gives us that matters and how we use it. So we have the know-how, and we have the know-how as a community and a community of leaders that understand the importance of this. We see this outside of environment, in health, in all sorts of areas where we're moving towards the harnessing big data analytics to develop policy. So there's no question that there's a shift on, and we're getting much better at it as a community, and certainly investing at government level as well as private sector, etc. So to me, this is a matter of time. It's not if, it's when, and it's how. My observation in terms of the how is that this shift is underway now, and that we are doing this now, and that's a really good thing.
You've mentioned big data a couple of times, that we're in the era of big data. Yeah. I wonder if you could unpack that concept a little for people, sort of the layperson. What do you mean when you say we're now in the era of big data?
What it means for me is that we have access to pools, if you like, of data that are huge. They're too big to understand in their own right. So we can access all the information streaming in, let's think in health sense. You can actually access information from the Fitbit that people are wearing. Well, that's a big data source because there's a big amount of information coming in. But what does that mean on its own? It sort of doesn't really mean much. So to me, the big data opportunity is dialing in pools of or reservoirs or big sources of information, whether it's Geoscience Australia, the Bureau of Meteorology. You can access these things, but that's one thing. It's the sense making that is actually the critical element. So big data is an input into a process that's about making sense and developing insight.
So what would you like to say to people who might be doubters about being more engaged in this space, particularly policymakers in government? What would you like to say to them?
I doubt that there'd be doubters because we know this works and we know we do evidence-based policy. So if we're talking about building the quality of the evidence base, then I'd be unusual if there would. It would be unusual to see doubters. Having said that, what I think the opportunity is to look at how we've skilled up and developed our skill in the emergency management sector and how big data, data analytics have had a massive impact on that whole program. And look at what is working in other areas of policy with health and other areas and say, well, how can we take some of those ideas and learnings and insights and apply them to our work? Most people would say it's too expensive to get a data analytics network up, so the sensors, the monitors, etc. People might think that this is not a bad idea, but who's going to pay? My personal view is that if we had a work program that, say, over a decade, we said, let's start building a sensor network around the state. Let's invest a certain amount of money each year, maybe not a lot initially, to start building that. And we are actually now, we are. So we are doing that with AIR. We're doing, and this is why I think the EPA inquiry was so pivotal and such an important outcome for the state, because it's recommending that we do some of this work. So it's happening anyway, as I said, but let's build this network and each year let's add a bit more to it and start incrementally building the capability. You need to get started on these things. We have got started, but the next opportunity for us is to start with a big vision of an environmental data analytics centre for the state. If we have that big vision, then everything we do going forward, and we're doing it, contributes to that big vision.
Okay, so what's the question? So there's not doubters in government, but there is government. Is it that government is set in a certain way or a certain system of doing things and it needs to transform? What is it that we need to do to change?
I think this is incremental. So I think this is evolution, not revolution. That's really important. Government is changing. Government is moving in this area. So this is not something that isn't underway, but one of the areas of opportunity is to coordinate around a big vision, which is an actual capability for the state. So I think we're doing this. We have the open access to data policies. That's really important. We have areas of policy and operations, as I mentioned, emergency management, the Environment Protection Authority in our area, let alone what's happening in other areas across government. This is well established in government that we need to innovate. There's no resistance in government at the leadership level to the concept we need to keep innovating, we need to keep developing our services and the way we work with community and community participation in our policy. So there's no real inertia there. It's about galvanising around a big vision for the environment. And so as Commissioner, one of my roles is to see where we are, see where the gaps are, and what's the opportunity to get action in that area. And I think the opportunity for government is to galvanise around a big vision and develop a state capability around an environmental data analytics centre, and do that in a way that participants can, citizens can participate in the science of the environment. In fact, the Biodiversity Plan 2037 that has been released this year, a landmark piece of policy that talks about actions for managing our biodiversity over the next 20 years. My goal is that we galvanise around a big vision, develop a data analytics centre for the environment, and go forward in a business as usual sense with real-time information streaming into community. So community can really not only become aware about their environment, get involved and feel that they have some ownership of the science. If environment is experiencing pressure, we know there's pressures through population growth, through climate change, etc. It's really important for you, for me, to actually be able to monitor some of that at my local level. I want to know what's happening to my coast. I want to understand what's going on in my bay. How is the runoff from the catchment affecting the water? I want to understand that a bit. If I understand it, understanding leads to action. And that's really what we want. We want people to really love their environment, protect their environment, and be the custodians of their environment.
It's a kind of links. I'm going back to what you were talking about before with sense making. It's about that being able to make sense at your very local level.
It is. And once upon a time, I'm an industrial chemist by training, Lucinda, so I used to do the monitoring of the environmental emissions for industry. So I understand that pre the Internet of Things, in the old days, we used to be data poor. So we'd have a little bit of money, we'd go out and we'd do the monitoring that we needed to do to answer the question we thought we had to answer. That's how data was used. You had a problem, you thought you had a problem, or you needed to monitor to check you didn't have a problem, and you set up your monitoring regimes around that. The world's changed now. We can actually get information through sensors that in a much more real-time fashion than the old ways could have ever given us. We've moved from a data-poor environment to a data-rich environment. The big data concept, it's about a richness of information. Information is no longer, or data is no longer our issue. It's making sense of the data that is really difficult, and that's the role for government. So if we understand that, that starts to shift the capabilities we need at government, hence my view that we do need to shift to an environmental data centre where we are developing this capability for business as usual, environmental monitoring and management. But that also changes the skills we might need within government. So what skills do we need? You know, we need analysts. We need different skills. Not completely. As I said, we're talking evolution, not revolution. But at leaders within government, we need to be thinking about what are the skills of the future. And when we talk about engagement with community and consultation, I think in this era, we're actually talking about participation. And that's a really important thing we need to think about too. Information is power. We know that if we're all informed equally, we all feel empowered. So I think you can participate with your citizenry, with your communities at a much more even level if you all have the same information that you're making sense of and taking your own insight from.
Fascinating. And it sounds to me that you're saying open data is a step but it's not the only step.
It's the next thing. So if you can access data, that's one thing. How do you make sense of that? At a community level, if you could only access the information, and we're talking here about environmental monitoring data, so sure, there's other information that you might be able to make sense of, such as reports and things, that's different. We're talking about if we had monitoring information and we had lots of dot points, you know, what is that telling? What's this story that it's telling me? The whole purpose of my office is to take science and information and collate it, synthesize the story and the meaning from it. What is it actually telling us? And so we can do that in the old way, that in the way we're doing it, where we actually write reports and we spend a lot of time, and scientists spend a lot of time collating the information, analysing the information, and obviously there's research. So I'm not talking about replacing research here. Research is really important. That's deep insight that we need. But I'm talking about more real-time monitoring information that has been synthesised in a way that makes sense to me. It tells me in my area, what's the air quality in my community today? It's not that, this is not rocket science. We're doing it in lots of areas of policy, and for the environment portfolio, for the environment community of people who are interested in leading in this area, I think this would be a powerful tool to help us harness the great goodwill. There's so many people in the community who want to participate. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Show me where you need help and I'll help. You know, let me be involved and I'll be involved. A lot of, you know, one of the things that I feel sometimes as a people watcher, particularly as I'm getting older and I'm surrounded by older people who've retired or semi-retired, they have time. They would actually do stuff. They would be participating in volunteering in various areas to towards particularly environmental avenues, if they knew where the pressure points were. You know, what is it we need to get active around? As soon as we know something's happening or something's on, we start to get active around it. Usually, you know, we see communities get active around different events in their community, but if you've got information that says we need to do something here or there, I'm sure you'd act. Most people have a lot of goodwill. They care about each other. They care about the environment. And if they can help, they will, if it's within their purview to do so.
Again, it's like the emergency management model is we're sort of, we're doing that in that sphere.
Yeah.
We could just apply it in the environmental monitoring area.
Yeah, and we will, and we are, as I said, there is work going on to do this, so I don't want you to think that there's not work happening. There is. I'm just really excited about the opportunity to have a big vision and do something really big over the next 10 years. And I'm working with colleagues on that vision. And so it's not a wild dream. It will become a reality, I think. And as you say, we've got great skills, we've got great know-how, we've got amazing, you know, volunteers and people who work in emergency management who do what they do, know where to act off the back of our ability to inform and understand what's happening. And the quicker we can understand things, the quicker we can act. It's different in business as usual for the environment. I don't want to catastrophise this. It's not a catastrophe here. This is just, what's the next thing for government? What's the big thing? I think this is one of the big things for government. Big data, data analytics, and use of the intelligence and insights, sense making for community, citizen participation, is really an important area for us to harness for environmental management and protection. And we've got a pace now, you know, we've got a bit over 4 million people in Melbourne, 6 million in Victoria by 20, 8 million in Melbourne by 2050, and the ABS actually saying by nearly 2060 that there'll be 9 million in Melbourne. That's what they're saying on growth rates. The pace of change and the pace of pressure on the environment is such that we need to have a different pace at how we operate and get information in and out.
What are the risks?
I think the risks of not doing this are greater than the risks of doing this.